Growing in confidence. There are a host of websites espousing the importance of self-confidence, all encouraging their readers to value themselves, their skills, abilities, qualities, and thus go out and take the world by storm. They describe the incredible benefits of self-confidence, from ensuring that we experience less fear and anxiety to having greater resilience and stronger relationships. Not surprisingly, self-confidence escalates our ambition, they say, surging our motivation to get the job done. One such site even defines confidence as believing in yourself, stating emphatically that it comes from recognizing that you are your greatest resource and that you unconditionally accept that you are both capable and desirable and able to handle life situations. Another site is a little softer and a little humbler in its definition, explaining that confidence isn't about feeling superior to others. It's a quiet inner knowledge that you're capable. Studies on children's health points to self-confidence as essential to academic achievement, as these individuals remove "I can't" from their vocabulary, believing instead in the quote that declares, "With confidence, I've won even before I've started." Whereas we can certainly agree that confidence matters, as it undoubtedly provides us with a greater sense of security that whatever life throws at us, we're ready, and that if we don't get it right the first time, we can try again and again if necessary, whether in work performance, school tests, sports competitions, or relationships. But it's the source of confidence that truly matters. For if we place all of our dependence on our own ability to achieve success, we will see how misplaced that is when things don't turn out the way we imagined, and success doesn't blossom as quickly or as surely as we anticipated. One sports site warns against four types of inappropriate confidence that won't garner the hoped-for results. One is the unwarranted confidence, in which the person is overconfident in their abilities or undervalues their opponents. The second is pasted-on confidence, indicating a weak prop-up of statements to boost one's notion of who they are and what they can do. The third is the "I've already done it" confidence that looks to past achievements and imagines the same results will happen without their input or effort. The fourth is the misnomer that efforts leads to results, suggesting that if I just do more, give more, try harder, all will work out well. With each of these is the downfall in depending on self for past, present, or future success. It's plunging ahead with reckless confidence, as Proverbs 14 says, without considering all the dangers that might be there. The Apostle James cautions against placing our confidence in ourselves and our own self-made plans. He writes, "Look here, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year, we will do business there and make a profit.' How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow?" he writes. "Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, 'If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that.' Otherwise, you're boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil." Jesus spoke the same message in his parable of the rich fool, telling his listeners about a rich man whose harvest was plentiful. In his arrogance, he decided to tear down his current barns and build bigger ones to store his abundant harvest. Then he thought he would take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God responded, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?" Jesus concludes, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." The same warning applies to those who put their confidence in powerful people, thinking they will rescue them or provide them with a secure future or an important position. How many times have we seen mitigating factors preventing them from being the assistance we've expected? Perhaps they've lost that influential position or can't convince the powers that be to help. Another is placing our confidence in unreliable people. Proverbs warns it's like chewing with a bad tooth or walking on a lame foot. If we've seen that person has not come through in times past or for other people, why should we suppose they'll come through for us? The book of Job explains it simply. Just as the marsh reeds don't grow tall without water and flowers won't flourish once they're cut, even so the same happens to all who forget God. The hopes of the godless evaporate. Their hope hangs by a thread. They are leaning on a spider's web. They cling to their home for security, but it won't last. They try to hold it tight, but it won't endure. Positive self-talk, past successes, present abilities, positions, or people cannot be where we place our confidence, or failure is imminent. The weeping prophet Jeremiah, who found his life constantly in danger, nonetheless in faith declared, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence." Similarly, Job, who lost his flocks, his laborers, his homes, his children, still in confidence recognized that God is so wise and mighty and does great things too marvelous to understand. He performs countless miracles. It was his reverence for God that gave him confidence and his life of integrity that gave him hope. The Apostle Paul made the same declaration, stating, "We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, nor does he rely on his own abilities or position, advising, though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could, indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, he says, I have even more." Then he recounts his tribe, his training, his zeal and obedience, and although he once thought these things made him special, he now realizes they are worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. Placing our confidence in the Lord brings us peace. It gives us a sense of safety that we will see the Lord's goodness while we're in the land of the living. And thus we do not fear bad news because we confidently trust the Lord cares for us. We can even sing our praises with a confident heart. It allows us to say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" It gives patience during the times of waiting for the promises of the Lord to be fulfilled. This confidence gives us the assurance that he hears us when we cry to him for help and that he comforts us in our sufferings. It gives us assurance in the work God has done in our lives and who we are in him. It convinces us that we're saved through our faith in Jesus Christ. It gives us boldness to not only witness for him, but to be able to come boldly and confidently into his presence. It gives us confidence in God's plans for us and that we're following the whole will of God, both now and forevermore, as it ensures us that we will live eternally with him. We have confidence in a better hope, we read in Hebrews 7, through which we draw near to God and flee to him for refuge with great confidence in the hope that lies before us, Hebrews 6:18 says, knowing that our actions will show that we belong to the truth, 1 John 3 writes. And thus we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world, 1 John 4:17. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege, Paul wrote the Romans, where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. And as we are confident in the Lord, we can have confidence in his people. Paul repeatedly commends his brothers and sisters in the Lord, affirming his confidence in him, the Corinthians, the Thessalonians, Philemon, and so many others. It is our love for God that helps us overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 15:13 writes. And thus, we don't ever want to throw away this confident trust in the Lord, for great is the reward it brings us. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.